Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 795 for the week of December 6, 2025. I'm Chris Privitz here, sharing you RP Gamers podcast about RPGs for the week, including people. Kelly Ryan.
Hi.
And Josh Carpenter.
Hey.
And all you out there in the chat room watching ads right now, because apparently I started this during ads. Go me. But this is a podcast primarily, so you guys don't care about the Twitch ads, right? You're listening here.
I could do with less ads in my life, but I'll deal.
I think you mean fewer ads, Kelly.
My bad. I'm sorry. I committed a grammar crime. Word crime.
Kelly, I'm looking at this Steam game, Fantasy Idol Dungeon, where like you capture rare genin, which look like ninja animals, and then awaken their legendary skills and talents and experience the joy of leveling up, evolving, and fusing them while they go and fight without you doing anything, because it's an idol game. And I have a problem because it says mixed reviews. Man.
Yeah. Steam is having a bullet heaven fest right now.
Oh, no. No, Kelly, no. Don't. Wait, I went to the top of my screen, and there's no Bullet Fest. There's BGM Game Expo, which, what does that even mean? Who's BGM?
That I don't know.
Background music?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, is it a music event? And apparently, no, it is not. But Bee Simulator's on sale for 80% off if you want to be a bee and recite the Bee Movie script while you play a video game.
Do you only get to sting once? And then they have to start a new bee?
I assume so, yeah. Be roguelike. Oh man, that would work.
Yeah.
I hate it.
But yeah, that's seeing the what did I say? It was Bullet Heaven Fest. And so seeing ones that look interesting and then you hover over their reviews and it says overwhelmingly negative. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess that one isn't that good.
Moving on.
And then the ones that on paper look incredibly crappy are like overwhelmingly positive. Like, oh, okay. I picked up a handful of those. I don't know when I'm going to get around to them because even though I rolled credits, I'm still solidly gripped into Guardians of Azuna.
The Rune Factory has its hands on you?
Yeah, so there's a couple of really hard boss challenges after you roll credits that I got sucked into, but even on the story difficulty, they're pretty hard, and I think they're built on the idea that you're using your farm to basically max out your stats. So that's what I'm doing, is pretty much tearing down all of my farms or all of my towns and rebuilding them from scratch to maximize my stats.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about those boss challenges is that they give you some decorations that give you like 1,000 strength if you put them in your villages. So that you can hit those milestones a little bit quicker. But yeah, I'm basically redoing all of my towns so that I can get to the agricultural stuff a little bit easier and get to the stores a little bit easier, and then having like one area sanctioned off that's just for stuff to boost stats. But I gotta say, this is the most innovative Rune Factory game that I've played thus far.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You'll get sucked into the town building pretty quick and wanting to min-max your villagers and be like, oh, your traits are slacker and heavy eater. Get out of my town.
I have no place for you here.
We only have hard workers that I can exploit your labor for my gain.
I want skinny hard workers.
Yes. Yeah, so that is pretty much all I've played the past 2 weeks. I've hit a couple of the Well, no, the only survivor that I even touched was Monsters Are Coming Rock and Road, but I completed that one pretty quick. I don't know if you ever got out to that one, Chris.
What? In which game?
Did you ever get
I'm
around
lost.
To
yeah.
Monsters Are Coming Rock and Road?
No, I didn't get around to it. Is it amazing and I should?
Oh, it's one of the most fun ones I've played this year, right up there with Ball Pit.
Is it short? It's
a, there's, I think, 5 levels and 4 difficulties on each level. And there's tons of buildings to unlock. And some of those unlock requirements get pretty difficult.
Okay.
Monsters Are Coming Rock and Road is the one where you're building a rolling fortress while you're running around collecting resources for said rolling fortress.
Oh. So is it constantly moving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to clear the area, the way for it, or that when the monsters catch up to you, it'll take out your fortress pretty quick. So you're constantly running around on ground mining for gold and upgrades. And when there's like a pixel of something in the way, you're like, damn it, where is it? But later you get buzzsaws that'll at least clear trees that are in the way. So it's kind of a balance of trying to put stuff on there that'll clear the way as well as stuff that'll actually defend your fortress. And yeah, it's a crazy game, but man, it was a blast to play. I hope that they add more content to it in the future. I know that Ball Pit came out this week and said that they were looking to add more content to that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was a great experience that was over way too quick.
I don't know. I think it didn't overstay its welcome.
True. True, but it's like, oh, I unlocked everything. I have no reason to play this anymore. But anyway, I don't know when I'll be done with Guardians. I guess it's going to depend on how much this min-maxing of my village is. How much that's going to get me ahead.
Well, we're kind of past all the big releases. Is there anything else coming out to, like, knock you off of that?
Not really, because anything that's come out the past 2 months I put on my Christmas list.
So yeah. You're just biding your time the next 3 weeks.
Pretty much. That's why I figured I would just stick with Guardians or maybe pop on one of those Bullet Heaven games that I picked up this week. There was a bunch of cat-themed ones that I bought. Surprise, surprise. Oh, Be My Horde was one of the ones that I talked about that looked interesting. That's basically Diablo 2 Necromancer, the game.
Oh.
Yeah. Though it's in early access.
Mm.
But
in early access things.
I normally agree, but it was really cheap, and this one was just, it spoke to me because running around with a bunch of skeletons was how I like to play Diablo 2. And your main character is a tall dummy mommy, in case you're into that.
See.
Let's see, what are the cat ones I grabbed? 9 Lives to Defend and Kitty Survivors.
You have that to tell us if they're any good, because I'm not going to try that.
Yeah, those were in a bundle. How do I say this? Picune Dreams?
Okay.
That one just looked visually interesting. Picune Dreams. Yeah, that one looked very interesting. Had a very interesting visual style. And what was the last one? No. Seraph's Last Stand, which also looked like it had a very interesting visual style. All these were like, I think the most expensive one was one of the cat ones. All of these were like less than $5 and just had really interesting art styles, and the reviews were overwhelmingly very positive or overwhelmingly positive. So I guess next week I'll have to give a Bullet Heaven report.
Yeah, you need to give us your book report.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I bought three kitty games because there was
Oh
one
no.
called Kitty's Last Adventure.
Kitty's Last Adventure? Oh.
Like Sounds I said, sad. these were in a bundle.
Still, like, wow.
Cute survivor game where you play as a kitty cat aboard her flying cat saucer.
I have questions. I'm not going to spend time asking them. No. I'm probably not going to want those answers. So, yeah, you enjoy that.
I will. Oh, and I also pre-ordered the game about digging a hole. We were talking about that pre-show.
That's, yeah, it's dig a hole or hold. What's, I forgot what it was called already.
So the game is literally called A Game About Digging a Hole. It is the one that spawned many clones on the eShop and I imagine on Steam.
So it's been out for a while then already?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got keyed into it because there's a very interesting video about it by Jacob Geller. I don't know if you've ever watched his content. He does very interesting deep dives into the psychology of video games. And he did a video about this game in particular where he actually went out to a diamond mine with some friends to go dig a hole in real life. And
you don't have to go to a diamond mine to dig a hole.
Yeah. Oh, I guess.
But if you do it at a diamond mine, there might be diamonds.
True.
Yeah. It's because if you try to do it in your backyard, you can hit power cables and stuff like that. So feasibly, it's safe to dig a hole at a place where you can't, or where it's designated to dig holes. But it was a really interesting video and talks about how humans just have a compulsion to dig for some reason. And that's what that game in particular is about. And it looked kind of interesting. And it's like, it was like a $4 game. I will have to put this video in our show notes. So that we can talk about it. Yeah, the video is on YouTube is literally called A Video About Digging a Hole.
Awesome.
But the whole concept is kind of interesting, and I was curious about that game, and seeing it come to the Switch eShop made me curious. So I grabbed it, and I'm probably going to play that this week. I'm either going to get bored with it after 5 minutes, or come on next week talking about how I'm addicted to digging holes in video games.
You're now like halfway to the center of the earth.
Yeah.
Good job, Kelly.
Yeah. So, sorry, I've dominated this segment. I apologize.
I don't think you need to apologize. It's
no.
It's been a long couple of weeks. I got my Christmas tree up. It's still standing. The kitten has been surprisingly docile about the Christmas tree, all things considered. Although I have noticed that some of the lower branches are a little bit bent.
They're doing stuff while you're not looking.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's every year. One of them likes to try to, I don't know, lean. They never try to climb it. They just like to try to lean on it or something. And people all the time at my work ask me, how do you deal with cats in Christmas trees? And I tell them there are three rules. One, artificial tree, never real, not only because of the hazard of them drinking the water and getting sick, but they just are less inclined to climb artificial trees. The second rule is plastic ornaments or felt ornaments, never glass, because they will steal the ornaments and bap them around the house. And unless you like glass in your feet, plastic only. And the third rule, and the most important one, never give them a challenge. Because you see all these videos on Reddit about people like putting them behind a fence or putting the tree in a cage or hanging it from the ceiling. And all that does is just tell them, hold my catnip. I need to try to tackle this.
Let me jump on this weird thing hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, just put up the tree, let them investigate. If they try to climb it, you tell them no and you redirect them to their own cat tree. And 90% of the time, you won't have any issues. Now that there's Frankie, my orange tabby, God, I love him. But for the past 2 years that I got him, usually after Christmas, he decides that Christmas is done, and he knocks the Christmas tree out. Because I usually wait until January 1st to take it down, just because I like having the pretty tree in my living room. But no, Frankie's like, nope, Christmas is over. I'm done with this. Put my cat tree back where it belongs.
Okay.
Yeah. And I say never give them a challenge, but anchoring the tree to a wall is a good idea. Just something to think about. Any questions?
Nah.
No. You've addressed everything.
And Josh, you've said that you just do the mini tree thing.
That's what I've done. Because Scotty was very, like, he was always, whenever you put up a full-size tree, he was climbing it halfway up, and then he'd try and slap at people as they walked by. So that didn't work well. So we quit doing that. So I just go mini tree on a table. He can go over there and investigate that, but there's nothing to climb.
I'm going to use this as an antagonism device.
Go figure.
I love
Not Scotty. At all like my cat.
I love Scotty. He sounds like such a delightful little troublemaker.
Oh, man. He was cheating on me. I went to Canada for Thanksgiving here and took a train across. So I left Scotty at the vet over Thanksgiving. And I came back and the vet was like, oh, man, he was so nice this time. He let me pick him up and pet him. And I'm like, he doesn't let me pick him up and pet him. What is this? What is this garbage about?
That's amazing.
I think he likes the vet now more than me.
That tracks.
That tracks, yeah. Of course. Because it'll annoy a human. I think that's what goes through his head all the time. What is the thing I can do that can maximally annoy him? Yeah, I think letting the vet, you know, pet me. That'll annoy human.
See, usually cats get nicer in their old age. I feel like Scotty is just getting more devious.
He's mellowed some. He's not quite as wild and antagonistic as he once was. You know, he slowed down a little bit, but he's still pretty active for 15. Lord help. you would think he would be getting to the age where he'd just be sitting in a chair resting all day, and that is not the case.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, when it's playtime, he's going to pester the crap out of you until you satisfy him.
And I thought of an idea the other day about basically making a retirement home for cats, a no-kill shelter that would be for cats 10 and over that get abandoned. Yeah. The only problem is I feel like you would have to have basically be a millionaire to cover that cost of cats that old.
It's tough. It's tough.
Because both dealing with a geriatric cat and a geriatric dog this year with diabetes has just... I love our pets, but man, it has killed our savings. Oh, you had elderly pets, yep. Chris, so you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I bought pet insurance for these guys.
Vaughn, we need to look into that. Because my
the boss, older they are, the more expensive it is to start.
See, I wonder if now would be the time since our oldest right now was 11. Well, the dog is older than Zorro because we don't know his age when we adopted him. But Zorro just turned 11, and I know he's 11 because I got him at 2 weeks old because he was abandoned under our shed. So, wait, we do have pet insurance?
Oh.
Oh, okay. No, we know the age of the dog. He was a year and a half old when we got him. So he's about 12 and a half, I want to say. But that's ancient for a dog. I know that most dogs only top out at 15.
So, Chris, what game is this where you're petting the kitties?
Yeah, I see this now. I'm intrigued.
This is called Where Wins Meet. This is the only game that's got me to stop playing Path of Exile for the past couple of weeks. It is a It is a it's an action game. Actually, no, I know how to explain this. You know Genshin Impact?
Mm-hmm.
This is for core gamer incel bros, but also Genshin Impact. So it's open world exploration. It's Chinese kung fu theme type thing. The Zhonghu, it's wuxia if you're into that genre. And the story is terribly translated. There's AI conversation NPCs that you don't need to interact with, but it's hilariously and terribly done when you do interact with them. There is AI voice acting, and the most addictive, run around the world, do whatever, collect things, kill things, fight things, be killed by geese. Yes, you heard me, geese. Game I've played in forever, and it's just fun. It's just fun, and I hate it. And it's free to play, and it's not pay to win somehow, even though it's free to play.
So how are they making money?
Cosmetics.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're expensive in the U.S. version, or in the global version. And I haven't bought any because they're too freaking expensive. Like, really expensive. There's a $40,000 boat.
What?
It's not listed in the store for $40,000. No, 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 no. The way you get to $40,000 to $52,000, I think is the full possible range, is in order to get this boat, is either to you have to get a bunch of the pity currency that you get when you do normal gacha pulls for like cosmetics and stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is the rare pity currency that doesn't come up very often. So like the only way to get it guaranteed is to spend lots and lots of money. And that's how you get up to like 52,000. But yeah, so somebody did a lot of spending in the first few days of the game and bought the damn party boat. And it's great because everyone else gets to join his party boat whenever he goes for a sail, and it's like nice, but also like, what the hell, people? Don't, why, what are you doing? Don't make them have these sorts of things in the game, because it just encourages the developers to do more of this sort of garbage, which is
don't do it. It's bad. No.
Squirt them with water.
Yep. That's what we need, a giant water bottle.
I just don't know what I
gamers.
Feel. I feel like gambling in games is great because it's not real money, except when the gambling is tied to the spending of real money. And that's what needs to go. I want to gamble fake money in this game and potentially get cool outfits. I don't want to gamble real money, and so I'm not. But also, like, anyway, there's so many things to be frustrated about in this game, and yet it doesn't matter because the rest of the game's fun, and you could just ignore all that crap because the actual play in the game part, you don't have to pay anything for, which I'd rather monetary muddle would be about something more sustainable about. It doesn't matter.
Exchanging
doesn't
matter. $60 for a fun experience.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. But this thing, it's, oh my gosh, they spent so much time building this world and putting so much crap in it. And it's just a shame when you see like the AI parts or the bad translation hurt it, because of how much fun the rest of the game is. But all that said, if you don't mind supporting gacha games in the sense of, like, you know, just playing the game and your friends seeing you play the game kind of as sort of pseudo support for the game, if you don't mind that, you should play it. You should check it out. Just try it. Like, and if you don't like it, just play for a day. It's just fun.
Is it PC only?
It is PC and PlayStation 5, and okay. They're about to do their phone launch, and it is crossplay, so you can sign in on one, link accounts, and then continue your progression on whatever platform you're in front of.
Because I would like to try the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, no, you should do it.
It got me curious.
Yep.
Now.
Yeah, right up there, and you just start going, and then when you want to move to PC, it'll be real easy. If on PC, that's they're on Steam, they're on Epic, and they have their own launcher if you want to go that route as well. Lots of options. What are people saying? Has light MMO stuff too. Yeah, it has like some raids and dungeons, so you could do multiplayer stuff with your friends. Like Kelly, you could get on, we could do like some bosses and stuff. You can do guilds. We have a small guild because being a free-to-play game with 9 million players in like the first couple weeks or whatever, there's a lot of people playing and spamming people all the time. So like, it's like you have to make a guild with your friends just so you stop getting invited to random guilds. It's one of those. There's a lot. There are like 50 different menu screens, all with different things of like rewards you get to collect on for free. There's too many menus in this game. And if you want to get all your currencies and things that you've earned, it takes so long to go through and click all the buttons every day to collect all your winnings for logging in and play. And it's weird, Kelly. It's weird. And but also I love it. And it scratches a weird itch that I think is destructive potentially if you get too far into it and addicted to logging in every day. But if you can put that away from your mind and just log in and have fun and stop worrying about getting all the rewards, then like, yeah, it's just way better than it has any right to be, honestly.
And I don't know how I feel about that, because like this week I had to reclaim a ton of hard drive space, and I ended up
this is a big one.
WoW. Yeah, I ended up deleting WoW and Diablo 4 off of my hard drive because I haven't touched those in a couple of months.
But like WoW, if you pre-order the expansion, you could start doing your housing stuff now, right?
I know, and I'm annoyed that that's calling to me, which is why I've stuck my nose in Guardians of Azuna. It's like, nope, I have housing at home. It's fine. But also some of the things that people have done with the housing in WoW has been pretty cool. Just why does it have to talk to me when the game is the base game itself has been boring as rocks? Because that's part of the reason why I stopped playing, because I just got tired of the constant chores. But housing looks so much fun. Actually, you know what's kept me off of WoW and not be tempted with the housing is that you can't have your pets in your house yet.
What?
Yeah, they haven't put that feature in. The second that I can have pets in my house, I'll probably be there. Because I mean, if there's no limit to the pets, then I will just build a cat cafe, literally. Because people have been building like taverns and stuff. They've been building taverns. They've been like making a replica of their own PC, their own like computer in the game. And then there's the people that have like little shrines to Zalatath.
Yeah.
That's been a running joke on r/WoW is the Zalatath shrines. Somebody posted a pic, because for pre-ordering the game you get a Zalatath painting, and somebody put that painting in a bathtub and said they were ready to become a millionaire by selling the bathwater.
Oh no.
Yeah. So fun times. I'm trying to resist. Oh no, that game looks fun. Are you having cat races?
So this is a so there are some puzzles in the game that are great. How do I put this? Some of the puzzles are infuriating and difficult to do, like these one where you have to get people in sync by using your ability that can freeze them temporarily. And oh my god, I have these things in sync, but it's not counting because it's not in sync enough and it's too hard. And then there are other puzzles that's just like, figure out where these butterflies are and I will chase them across the entire map for an hour and having fun the whole time. And it's like, there's good puzzles and bad puzzles. And I'm not having a cat race. I have to get them to walk in sync. And I think they are. I think they're doing the catwalk walk just fine, but apparently not fine enough.
Yeah, the gray one's getting there slightly too early.
Yeah, that task isn't even fun in real life. Though it does always amuse me when people say herding cats is difficult, and I go, you've never heard of tuna, have you?
Got it. All right. Anyway, this is Meow Meow Kelly. He's the master of the cat faction who gives you rewards for doing the puzzles and stuff. So
that's a very cute cat.
He's got a nice outfit.
He looks pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, he lost an eye, you know.
He's probably a Maine Coon.
Kung Fu kitten.
Oh, hey, that's my polydactyl when I have to trim her nails. That cat has made me a Disney villain, i.e. given me facial scars. It's the sweetest cat in our house, but does not like to be caught for anything. It's a weird paradox. So did you play anything while he was in Canada, Josh?
Not too much. I spent most of my time like looking out the window at the scenery and kind of like reading a book. When I got back, I got back into Outer Worlds 2. So I'm pretty close to the end of that. I've kind of been like cleaning up the side stuff basically. And it is very much one of those games where it does not shepherd you down a path for both good and ill. Because I've just kind of like stumbled into the last couple of characters that you can pick up like right at the end of the game. And sometimes it handles that better than others. Like I picked up this one character as a who I there was nothing that indicated I was just kind of like wandering around a world like doing a side quest, and I just kind of like came across this person that was locked up in a building, and there's the character, and she like tells you like, oh hey, I kind of want to go over to this research facility, you know, because the people who locked me up are over there, and I'm like, yeah, I've kind of already been there and killed everybody. And she just kind of stares at you and is like, oh well, this is awkward. Well, could we go over there and see if you got the main guy who was the leader of the people? And we're like, okay, yeah, sure. And so it kind of like continues on the storyline that way. One of the other characters I picked up, he's an arbiter for the Protectorate, the kind of like totalitarian government in one of the factions. And the thing is that like you can basically play far enough along in the main storyline that events happen with the leadership of the Protectorate. And his whole like character storyline is obviously supposed to be played along with the main storyline, but apparently, yeah, I got way too far into the main story. And so, you know, he's going on and on about like this whole storyline that ties into like, why is the council doing all this like nefarious stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I've kind of already gotten to the end and I know exactly why why this is happening. And there's kind of no real option to kind of it's not been written in a way that it can take into account that I've, you know, as the main character, I've already seen what happens and where this goes. And it just keeps on going with this guy going like, why is the council acting like this? I'm like, because he's a bad guy. Because we know he's the bad
But Josh, you can't be sure of that. You need to wait
guy.
for the inevitable reveal.
But it's already been revealed in the main story. I've
No,
gotten
no.
there.
It's no idea how this could be. We'll never know.
It's a mystery to everyone.
My horse got stolen.
Your horse got stolen?
Yeah. Dude
Now you're
knocked me off
chasing
my
it.
horse and stole him and disappeared. I couldn't even kill him to take it back.
Was that an NPC or was that a
That
person?
was an NPC. I stole that horse days ago. Like, now I'm gonna have to go do it again.
I stole that horse fair and square.
Oh, also, this freaking Werewind's Bleak game, it's beautiful. It's just
It
freaking
is.
beautiful. And it's got great photo mode. It has different times of day that make the same scene look completely different. It's just beautiful. And it's got, you could do the HDR stuff. You have different, like, color filters for the. You spend so much time just wandering around taking photos in this game. Well, I'm like, people should play this game even if they don't want to play it long term because it's.
It's free, so you can jump in and try it. I may have to. This is interesting. There's cats and
Yeah.
geese.
Not so much excited for the geese.
They are dangerous animals.
We've had geese in
Ooh.
our neighborhood, like sleeping in the middle of the road.
No, the first time you run into a goose in this game, it will kick your butt.
Yeah.
Need to learn how to deal with the geese.
It's like we live in a re I mean, they're in a residential area, so they're not in too much of a risk of getting hit by a car, but I just want to go, guys, why?
Geese.
Because you give no Fs.
They're geese.
That's why.
Don't care.
I
We got a ton of news today. We're going to
just
go
want to
ahead and
play
get
my
into
game.
feedback.
I just want to play my game, guys. I don't. Too exhausted. It's been a long
You're too
week.
Exhausted for feedback.
We ask people to ask us stuff.
Uh-oh. We got to do work?
Oh,
yeah.
This was a mistake.
So our first response is from Levy. Is it Livy or Levy? It was Lizard Yamato. RPG cast feedback. Hey, folks, I'm going to keep it light this week. If you could create your dream RPG, what would it look like? You could pair any developer with any style of game and IP. For example, I would love if Square attempted to make an ARPG in the vein of Diablo 4. Seasons, multiple builds for each class with unique items that break the game. I think that's a game that could work really well. What would yours be? Don't give Square ideas. I'm sorry, they with the gacha games, they do monetization terrible, so I couldn't imagine what a Diablo Immortal version of Final Fantasy would look like. So what would my... I want a new proper Shining Force game. Same art style, same type of story, just a brand new pixel art homage to Shining Force, because that's my favorite RPG series of all time, and I am so sad that the last major entry was on the Saturn.
I think if we're going to go mashup, what I would love to see is like a Bethesda making a Trails game. So make an open world Trails game, probably where you play as like an Anguis from Ouroboros, because they're kind of like chaotic. They could do anything. They could do good things. They could do bad things. It'd be fun, kind of fun to kind of see that series from the opposite side, because we've never really, not truly gotten to see things from the Ouroboros side. I think that would be fun and interesting and also totally different.
Yeah, that does sound cool. Oh, I guess I was supposed to mash this up.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
It's dream RPG.
Gotcha.
It's open, so you can do whatever. What about you, Chris?
Oh, man.
Did you get your horse back?
I did. I stole someone else's horse.
Oh, okay.
It happened to me, therefore it's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. What would I do for my dream RPG? I would probably design a game that as soon as I actually played it, I would realize is terrible. What would that be? Vampire Survivors with levels, but it plays itself. You know? It would be dumb. Visual artifacts. If I knew what I wanted to play, I wouldn't have such struggles all the time, right? I want to not be so caught up in what I should play that I think I just want lots of games. Okay. Here's my dream game. Get this. So we're going to do a role-playing game. It's going to have menu-based combat. It's going to come out and be about 60 hours to finish and have a great story that's well-translated. And get this. You pay for it, and then you own it. And there's no services that need to keep being updated in the game, but maybe they make some sequels and they do better in the sequels, so you buy those too and then you own them, and then you tell your friends about it and they play it and they're like, that was a great game. That was it. So basically Quartet. You should just go play Quartet. So
I need to get that. Also, I figured out what I could mash my Shining Force game with. So, the Shining Force gameplay, that art style, but give it the Disgaea treatment and make it crazy with the humor and crazy customization.
With the humor.
Yeah.
Like, just with the humor.
Well yeah, because Shining Force games were pretty dry.
Yeah. I mean, your biggest hurdle here is a Shining Force game that's a strategy RPG again.
Yeah.
No one's
that.
Doing that.
I guess that's what Valkyria Chronicles is for. Even though they haven't made a new one of those either.
Yeah, that's kind of a dead series too. But someone else can do a new series. We can have a new experience.
It would be nice. We've got that Fire Emblem engine. Somebody needs to make a Shining Force engine. Livy, I'd love to tell about your Cyberpunk update, but we've got a lot of stuff to cover today. I'm sorry. From Shaman, originally I was going to ask, does Metroid have exploration yet? But now I'm wondering what your biggest crack ship, your biggest crack ship is, like Picard / Seven of Nine.
No. Picard and Seven and Nine. Oh, that would be something. No. Okay.
No is the answer.
What would my biggest ship be?
So is a crack ship a joke ship, or is it something serious?
Yeah.
I was just going to ignore that part because I have no idea what.
Because I have a dumb theory about Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure. Oh, no.
Oh, Lordy.
So watch that movie and you'll notice that Billy the Kid and Socrates become best friends.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie, like, they're in scenes together all the time, and they in the mall scene, they hang out. I think that they've got a thing for each other.
Do ya?
And it always made me wonder, like, when they went back to their old time, did they miss each other?
All right, well, what's the ship name for Billy the Kid and Socrates?
Kidcrates.
No, but remember, we got to do Socrates, right? So, yeah. So is it Bill Crates?
Kidcrates.
Kidcrates?
Right.
Yeah.
Bill Crates. Billy the Crates. Billy Socks. Sockabilly. Nothing's really hitting me right.
I have always wanted to write a fan fiction that explored this.
Sock Kid or Bill Crates, says Vaughn. All right.
But seriously, watch the movie. Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay, then.
So no crack ships from you guys, from Strawberry Eggs. What canceled video game do you wish we had more information on? Are there any that you wish had actually...
But we didn't all come up with a ship.
Both of you said no. I thought that was your answer.
No, that was a no to their ship.
Oh.
Like, I gotta put two people together. Who are we putting together? That requires me to remember characters from games I played.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be games, can be anything.
Okay, no, I can do this. All right, what do I like? I like, okay, so we're going to have, okay. We need well-developed NPCs. So does that mean we start with one from Baldur's Gate 3? And if so, who's the most interesting NPC in Baldur's Gate 3? Let's see, is it going to be... The evil devil guy. We could do Karlak because everyone thinks Karlak is hot and she's literally burning alive, so that she is hot. People like Shadowheart mommy. Okay. I'm not good at this. I should just have some top of mind, right? No?
I should, but I'm not a big shipper.
The ship has sailed?
Yeah, the ship has sailed.
Okay. Lady Demetrescu, the tall lady from Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And who can she get with?
Someone really short?
And, well, everyone will just say me, like, you know, meaning whoever you are, you want to be with her. But that doesn't count. We got to put her with some other fictional character. We can put her with... We can put her with the cat from the Square Winds Meets games, and then she'll be a nice lady. She just needs a cat to pet. I haven't thought about that.
As long as she's not mean to the cat.
Are we just, let's just pair up people who need cats to become less villainous.
Because that's the problem.
J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man. He just needs a cat or a dog in his life.
Mm.
That's all he's missing.
Ash, we've solved bad guys. Yeah.
Okay. Vaughn says Ash from Pokemon with what? Lady Dimitrescu? No.
Well, one, Ash is a kid, Vaughn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, he should be like 45. But yeah, he's still 11. He got 1 year older. So was he 11 now? So he needs a daddy. And, like, not in a gross way, like a real father figure. So who could be Ash's daddy? Who's Ash's daddy? Not
who's Ash's
Andy
daddy?
Andy is yelling at me, stop saying daddy. Okay, Ash's father. Who's going to be Ash's stepfather? Professor Oak. No, that's who his mom had an affair with to conceive him. That's a different statement, Vaughn. Who's going to be his ship father? His ship father figure.
Also, I always thought the headcanon was Mr. Mime.
Stepfather is Mr. Mime. All right, I have to give up on Ash then, apparently. Like, we have too much established canon here. All right, who are we shipping Ash's Pikachu with? Yeah?
Renamon.
Renamon, okay.
From Digimon.
Are there any Chibi Robo? Because Chibi Robo needs electricity, right? So,
yeah.
No.
Hmm.
Okay.
There you go.
Perfect.
I haven't played Chibi Robo. I don't know if that's a good match.
So, canceled video
games. Okay. All right. We can move on.
Cancel video games. Okay.
The one that I wish would come out, though I don't think it would have changed history, is Sonic Extreme on the Saturn. Because the dev team for that got a raw deal. And Yuji Naka is kind of an asshole.
What was Extreme going to be about?
It was going to be basically Sonic's Mario 64. And the American dev team was responsible with working on it. And they wanted to use the Knights engine to make it basically make it easier to program. And Yuji Naka threatened to quit the company if they used his Knights engine.
Because he's a jerk. Okay.
Yeah, because he's a jerk. Because he's a diva. And Sega didn't want to lose Yuji Naka, but because of the night that they didn't have an engine, they were going to have to make one from scratch. The game basically just never was finished.
Weird, but what it is. That's...
I would be curious to see the course of Sega history if Sega had actually managed to make a decent Sonic game for the Saturn, since that was their bread and butter on the Genesis.
I want to know what would have happened if the Nintendo and Sony system became the way things were.
It's a weird alternate universe.
What's a canceled game I wish I had more information on? Supposedly a Western dev team was working on Final Fantasy 12, and that didn't happen. And I was curious, I was always curious what that would have entailed, but there's hardly any details about that.
Like to know what they were even thinking about?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that one died very early in production.
Oh yeah. I think I only know about it because of a video I watched about canceled Final Fantasy games, and it was just a brief mention. So, that's my answer. Also, I put these in the sheet, so I'm cheating because I kind of pre-read them.
I think the one I'm most bummed about right now is like the Deus Ex, the reboot of Deus Ex kind of dying.
Mm.
Did it die? I thought they did.
No, it's it's canceled, and now the studio is like working on Fable and working on some stuff for Microsoft.
This was the one that they announced recently.
They announced they were working on it after Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, gotcha.
And then it got canceled when they got Square sold them off to the company that bought all of the. All the studios, Embracer.
So this isn't you're talking a reboot of Deus Ex Human or the
yes.
newer ones, not the
not the original, yeah.
That got
which is
got
still coming out.
Okay. I was confused. Like, wait, they just announced that. Oh, you're talking that whole.
Yeah, because, well, the second game kind of ends, not on a cliffhanger per se, but there are loose threads. It was intended for there to be more games.
You want more of the Adam Jensen storyline.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The gravelly voice.
Chris, did you say yours?
Canceled game. Am I supposed to know a bunch of canceled games?
Mm-hmm.
How?
I mean, we talk about them.
Yeah.
I mean, every MMO that's been canceled?
Oh, Lord.
What about that one Blizzard Project Titan one that just never...
Can we go back to StarCraft Ghosts? Can we have that?
Yeah. I was curious about that one.
Okay, so... I'm bad at answering games, so I'm putting this character into the corner so I can focus without being distracted by this stupid video game I've got on the stream. So the game that I, okay, so we gotta do this again. All right. So we start with Lady Dimitrescu. No, we have a canceled game that I am most upset about being canceled, right? Or most wish wasn't? Is that what it is? I should read the screen. Oh, you guys are just letting me flounder because I deserve it. Okay.
What canceled game do you wish we had more information on?
And just more info. Any, okay. All right.
Are there any that you wish actually came out? So it's kind of a two-parter.
Yeah, it's kind of both. Yeah. Okay. So we have... All right, I need some memory jump starts. What are like famous canceled games? Famous canceled games. Let's see what we got. Star Wars 1313. That's a good one. StarCraft Ghost, Mega Man Universe. One of the Star Wars Battlefront 3, I guess. Okay.
Mega Man Legends 3 was another one I thought about pre-show.
The Fallout 3. Oh, God. The original Fallout 3.
Yeah. Agent.
Silent Hills.
Oh, yeah. That one's a huge one.
The Bully 2. Oh, how about Half-Life 3?
Yeah.
Technically, that hadn't been canceled, right?
Mother 3 coming out in the U.S.? Let's see.
That one platinum game for the Xbox that was going to be about a guy with headphones riding a dragon.
Scalebound?
Yeah.
I just looked that up on here. Scalebound. Yep, that got canceled.
That sounded like such an interesting premise.
Yeah, it was going to be terrible, but I wanted to see it and play the terrible game.
Was that a Lionhead one?
Who was making that? Platinum.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of Lionhead, were there Fable games that got canceled?
Pick a console you want to look at. Never mind. There's a full-on list. All right. List of canceled games. Oh, this is list of platforms of canceled games. Oh, my gosh. We could go through the canceled Vita games.
Sure.
Oh, 13 Sentinels was going to be ported to Vita. That got canceled.
Lots of ports.
Yeah.
The DS version of Black and White.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we were supposed to get that, and I wanted that so bad, and it never happened.
Final Fantasy Agito Plus. It was a phone game.
Yeah.
It was going to come to Vita. Say, yeah.
Some of them ended up...
These good games that got canceled on Vita. Hyper Light Drifter, Mighty Number 9, Minecraft Story Mode, Never Near. various SMT games, Tales from the Borderlands. Oh, this is depressing. We shouldn't look at list of Vita games. We should look at some.
I think the Vita is the most underrated system that has ever come out.
Yeah.
I love that little system, and it did not deserve what it got. I think it should have been a lot more popular.
Oh, here we go. Star Fox Armada. Retro Studios was going to reboot Star Fox with puppet visual aesthetics and an emphasis on multiplayer, but it did not get greenlit. That could have been good. Argonaut. Are there like canceled Phoenix Wright games that just never got made? Because that would, or Ghost Trick sequels, like if either of those were going to happen and got canceled, that would make me sad to learn about those.
Yeah. No, I was thinking more the Nintendo route, that Argonaut wanted to do a Nintendo 64 version of Yoshi's Island, and Nintendo put the kibosh on that, and that's how we got the Croc games.
Hmm.
But I wanted to see how that would have been played out had we gotten the Yoshi's Island experience. Because Croc was not very good.
What about this? The Final Fantasy versus 13.
Yeah, that would have just, I mean, that was originally,
it kind of turned into 15, but not like directly, was, right?
Yeah. Supposedly Renatus, that weird Furia game that came out last year that Alex said was terrible. Supposedly some devs that were on Agata or Versus 13 worked on that.
Renatus?
Yeah. Is that the one?
Okay. But it's terrible. That's weird. The Steam reviews are all mostly positive. I wonder what happened with that.
I know Alex didn't like it. I've tried to boot it up multiple times, and I don't think it's terrible, but for some reason I cannot get into it.
It looks weird.
It's kind of got the weird, crazy storyline that I love, but
well, yeah. They're going for the face visual, the creepy faces from like SMT3, kind of. Mm-hmm. And like, just higher poly, I guess. It's like, that's what it makes me think of. And I'm like, what is happening? Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Should we move on? I know we've got a lot to cover.
Yeah, we should. Like, let's go. We can save them for next week. Move to the other questions. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think these ones will be a little bit shorter. What's a popular, or from Kroll, what's a popular or acclaimed RPG, individual or game series that you just do not get the appeal of, or no, it's not for you?
For me, it's definitely Souls games, which I understand the appeal. It's just, like, totally not my bag.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's the OG Fallout.
Mm. Those are good games, Kelly.
I have tried to start those so many times, and I just end up getting lost and frustrated.
Hmm. So you're talking OG, or
one and two?
Okay.
If 3 and 4 in New Vegas are pretty much just Skyrim, but post-apocalyptic, isn't it?
Yeah, they're Bethesda games.
Yeah,
they're not Fallout games.
Those ones I want to try because I've played Skyrim and I enjoyed Skyrim. But the original PC Fallouts, people talk them up so much, and it's like I want to get into them, but I just cannot. But I know that's a complete me problem.
Mm. Well, it's, you know, they were of a time.
Yeah. Chris, do you have one?
I don't. I'm just gonna.
And then final question is for Chris from Phil. Uh-oh. Fancy Pants.
I have to answer this one, huh?
Mm-hmm. Is PoE2 a good place to start playing? I've only played about 80 hours of PoE, but that was back in 2016, and it seems overwhelming to me now.
Yes. If you feel like PoE2 would be fun to play, you should play PoE2. There is no reason you need to feel like you need to play, beat, or become good at PoE1 in order to play PoE2. They are different games. They have some things in common. They have a lot of things in common. They have a lot of things that are not in common. You should play whichever one you enjoy. Also, PoE2 isn't really done yet, so you could just keep waiting for it and play PoE1 if you want, or just not. PoE2 is going to eventually probably get as complicated as PoE1, though. So be aware that they're going to keep adding stuff to it. So if you want the non-overwhelming action RPGs, you might want to stick to your Diablo 4s, your Titan Quest 2, which I know that's also still early access, but that's probably going to be less stuff to deal with. Your Last Epoch, and whatnot, you know, Yeah, I think the thing with PoE is to not feel like you have to do anything, because it just kind of ruins it. And the story stuff is not that important for you to really have down to play PoE 2. Like, they don't even really connect the stories very much, honestly. And I'm kind of disappointed by it. But also, it's not even done. So, yeah. No, you should play the one that looks interesting to you. And that's it. That should be your selector. Like, do you want to play this one? Play it. If you don't, don't. And I know that it feels dumb and we don't like that, but like, really, for this series, that is, this is not a Trails in the Sky game. You should feel completely fine just jumping into one or the other.
And there you go. Being visited by the kitten.
Aw. Hello, kitten. So, with that, what are we doing?
News. Mirthwoods gets Foundations update. This is a major update for the open world life sim Mirthwood, with new story events. And they said that the game is now Steam Deck verified. We get new story events, seasonal festivals, pets, and more.
Cool. More stuff in Mirthwood. Yeah. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. Looks cute. Moving on. Beck's Monster DLC is coming to console next month. Let's see. What is this DLC about?
Adding memories.
It's adding like a prequel kind of stuff. It gives you like memories of stuff that happened before the game.
Okay. Yeah, because the update was on PC previously, and now it's coming to the console versions of the game, so you no longer have to wait. And this was the winner of our 2023 Michael Cunningham Award for a unique gameplay. So you'll have to check it out, especially if you like the base game.
Mm.
I'm kind of rapid firing these, so let me know if you want me to pause.
Will do.
Monochrome Mobius Rights and Wrongs Forgotten Switch 2 version announced. This is the action RPG underwater Ray Romano.
Oh, yeah, the okay. One that's kind of a prequel to the original, to the SRPGs. Yeah.
Yeah. Came out worldwide in 2022. Now the Switch 2 version is coming out next year in Japan. I don't know if we have news of a Western release.
Not yet.
But probably soon.
Yeah.
And then we've also got a new underwater Ray Romano game announced.
Michi Shirobe.
Thank you.
That's close-ish, but not quite right either. But underwater Ray Romano game. The next.
I don't even try to pronounce the actual name of that game anymore.
Underwater Romano?
Yeah. planned for PC, PS5, and Switch 2 in Japan in 2026 with no Western release announced. But I'm sure it'll come here. I mean, this game series has its fans here.
Yeah.
But if we get a Western release announced, we are sure to report it here. Let's see. I forgot to delete the story. Octopath Traveler Zero reveals more companions and interactions. The game is out now. You can see these companions and interactions.
Yeah. Oh, and there's also a physical 2-CD soundtrack that's being released in December for $36.
Yay. Dolok Town receives Thrives and Ties update. So I think this is a farming sim that's set in a post-apocalyptic world.
Graphics look like Cave Story, sort of. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
But, this update includes two new friendship storylines, along with some personal quests, a new faction, and more customization options. The game is also in early access. I have it wishlisted, apparently. Let's see, moving on. Dragon Arrow, The Rise of the Drakir is getting free Master Mode DLC. Includes three dungeon creation tools. And these tools let you build and share your own adventures.
whenever I hear era, something ending in arrow, I immediately think of Simpsons and Canyon Arrow. It's now stuck in my head.
Canyon Arrow.
It's a weird one. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I need to see how this works. This is like 2D.
Yeah.
But, yeah. In a weird tabletop, you're playing on top of artwork, sort of. Check it out, actually, because it looks neat. I wonder if this is like really good and like it just doesn't show well, right?
Entirely possible.
It's only $20, right? So the DLC's free. Oh, there's a demo. I'll add the demo to my. There you go. Classic turn-based RPG with a strategic twist that will challenge you. Strange, but also neat.
Pathbreaker's Roaming Blades is coming to Steam Early Access, and this is by the same. It is partnering with Veilseal the Arbiter's Mark.
Oh! Hmm. That was a well-regarded strategy RPG by people at RPGamer.
Yeah. And I guess this is another strategy RPG from the looks of it.
This one looks hex-based instead of grid.
Yeah.
They're partnering. What does that mean, they're partnering?
I guess Veilseal characters are coming to this game?
No, I think that's just saying that Hooded Horse is publishing this. Oh, it's not partnering with them. It's made by the same people who made Veilseal. And Hooded Horse is going to publish it. That's what's going on here. So this is a new game. So Veilseal, if I remember, had like the really rough looking artwork that you had to get over that not everyone was cool with. And so like this is a slightly different art style. So see if this one appeals to you. And remember, it's from a company that made like a really good strategy game. And is that town building? You said this already, didn't you?
I don't remember.
There's at least trading. Build your company. There's town building, everybody. Guys, wishlist this. When is it coming out? It's coming out in Steam Early Access. I don't want to pay for it in Early Access. It's coming out next year sometime, though. At least in Early Access. Oh, and the animation looks cool. Yeah. Pathbreakers. Check it out. From the Veilseal game, people. What's next?
So, Yakuza 0, Kiwami, and Kiwami 2 are having their digital upgrades detailed, but also the I think Yakuza 0, the previous versions are being delisted.
Yeah. I think we already talked about this some.
I think we
mentioned it.
Now they have the details. The details now. Yeah.
So that you'll basically just be getting the updated versions of these games going forward.
Yeah.
And wow. So Yakuza 0 is discounted from $50 to $14 on all the.
From 50 to 15 if you already own Yakuza 0 on.
Oh, okay.
Steam, PS4, or 1. So that's going to be a paid upgrade, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yakuza Kiwami is a $2 upgrade on PlayStation or Xbox. Kiwami 2 is a free upgrade for PlayStation or Xbox. If you have the first Kiwami 2.
And these upgrade discounts do not apply for the physical versions, nor if you got them from a free game service.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you obtained it through a subscription service, you haven't really obtained it. Oh, save data doesn't transfer between the versions either.
Huh.
Starting fresh.
I can see how that would be frustrating.
Got to do the Mahjong all over again.
I don't like that. So yeah, hopefully that's not too confusing. Arknights Infield Beta Test 2 available soon, with the PS5 coming in. Beta test coming in December. The second beta will include a fully reworked storyline with new cutscenes and dialogue. This beta test starts on December 12th.
This is one of those where it's very slick looking but does not give you a very good sense of the gameplay.
I don't know what this is. Is this like a Genshin Impact Lite?
Maybe.
I thought that not my cat, but our former staff member Alice played this. Or was it something? Or
maybe using it. I don't know. Is this a Hoyoverse? What is this? What is this? Griffine. I don't know who. Griffline. Griffline? That's a weird name. Like Griffin plus line. Developed by Mountain Contour. Oh, that was the publisher. So Mountain Contour, which sounds like, you know, middleware that you would make for putting mountains in your game. Arknights Endfield is based on the popular Arknights mobile RPG tower defense title, but will tell a separate story. And this is a normal game? Like, or is this a free to... What is this? Oh, wait. No, I know it's free to play because it will go live on PC, iOS, and Android at 7 p.m. And it's already, because this was a week or two ago. The PS5 beta will start on December 12th, which means none of the stuff is out yet, and this is free-to-play garbage, isn't it? Right. But so is my Kung Fu RPG, so what do I know?
Are there geese? That's the important thing.
Is there pay-to-win is the important thing, but yeah, whatever. More Yakuza? What is happening?
Yeah. Kiwami 3 and Dark Tide side stories detailed.
Oh, no. They've got a sewing machine minigame, it looks like.
Yes.
That's amazing. Okay, that would have made Yakuza 3 better.
Sewing would have made Yakuza 3. You would have liked the orphanage if you had been able to sew?
Can't promise that. I don't... man, it just wouldn't... It wouldn't stop, Josh. The kids needed so much stuff, and it buried the story under all this... Just, I love the kids, but I need to get away from the children.
Yeah, I'm not sure this one's for you, Chris, because they're expanding all that in this one.
It can't be worse. I look, Kiryu has a daddy rank. Adding a daddy rank probably makes this better, honestly. Adding level up mechanics to the orphanage stuff, I think that's better. Because then, like, I feel like I'm doing something. I don't... You should check out this story if you're interested in what they're going to add. Some additional side stories and side quests and stuff. And yeah,
lots of cooking. Lots apparently. Of cooking.
Yeah,
bug catching minigame. It was one of the thinner games in terms of content because they were changing from PS2 to PS3. It was the first one on the PS3, so I think they're filling it out quite a bit, using this remake to fill it out quite a bit.
Why is it not called Yakuza 3 Kiwami?
It is Yakuza Kiwami 3.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. Wow. Okay. Cool. So there you go. Why am I? I'm so sorry. I'm an idiot.
Okay. We were gone for a week. We're not doing well.
Oh man. And Dark Ties. Okay. Oh, Mine's story. I see what's going on. All right. Yeah.
So there was an indie showcase this past week. I think it was this past week. This article is from the 29th. With a bunch of titles. Basically you'll have to go to the article on our site to get the full details, because each of these presentations is like 20 minutes long and it's a lot of stuff. And we have individual articles for some of the announcements, including Haishin Shoujo no Urika Mediku, Sacrifier, Being and Becoming, Suru Shigehime, Magical Princess, which was I was curious about, Into the Fire, and Core Keeper. Magical Princess looked like an Atelier game to me.
It does, yeah.
But
it's got a lot of those vibes to it.
And I know a bunch of these are on my wish list, like Pow Pow, which is a cooking game featuring animals, and the main character is a chef cat. Tamertown looks interesting. Probably is a Pokemon clone. So yeah, lots of stuff to check out in this article. Co-op action RPG Serpent's Gaze has been announced. It is for up to 4 players, blending roguelite and souls-like elements. Wow, two words that couldn't turn me off from a game faster. Plus co-op, because I couldn't imagine trying to play a Souls game with other people. Though I say that, isn't Monster Hunter's combat kind of Soulsy?
Only in that it's difficult and parrying matters.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, people have made the comparison. There seems to be an overlap of fans. And also, there is multiplayer Souls-like. It's called Nightreign.
Well, I mean, there's multiplayer aspects even to regular Souls games. And, like, you can summon people,
it's
right?
Called easy mode. It's where you summon people in to help you.
So there you go. What else have we got? The God Slayer gets its first details in media. This is the third-person open-world steampunk game.
This trailer annoyed me because or maybe this is just me. I get annoyed when trailers are like 9-10 minutes long, and I'm just like, edit this down to something.
Oh my gosh, it is
sensible. Yeah, why? Yeah, yeah.
It's like the whole story. You're gonna.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
what? Like, once you get like 5 or 6 minutes in, when you actually see the combat, like that's actually somewhat interesting. It's got like some interesting brawler combat where they're also bringing in like you have magical powers too. So the combat looks interesting.
Scripted environmental interactions, which are probably more story focused than stuff you could just do.
Yeah.
Okay, you're fighting a dude with lots of hair that's going wild. He's stronger
gods,
than you.
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Good JRPG.
You probably shouldn't be then. He's going to kick your butt. A Raiden god? I don't know what's going on.
He's got some hair.
Oh, he's got a gauntlet. Oh, more people. Yep. Well, that's good, though, because he can level up on these new people that showed up and then fight the god later when he's stronger. That's how that works, by the way. You level up. Wait, now there's a Transformer throwing a car. I wish I was joking. this is a trippy trailer for 9 minutes. Yeah.
I would suggest like zipping through the first couple and getting to where the action actually starts.
I mean, like this starts off with people in a desert and ends with like Transformer combat. I don't know what's going on. So, you know, enjoy. airships. Cool.
Yeah, why airships not? Too. Yeah.
They're
shooting projectiles at you.
All right. What's the name of this?
God Slayer.
Yeah. Oh, now we're running around in the combat. It's like a Witcher sequence. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Neat. Dude loves to do the breakdancing move to get off the ground, by the way. So I like that. I appreciate that. What's up? You've got the Force in this game. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I should stop watching this. All right.
Wiseman's World Retry is coming next year. That's a name. Looks like a classic JRPG with a really interesting looking combat system.
This was like a late DS title that did not make it to the West, and now it's being re-released. So
they're retrying.
Yes.
Yeah. Wizarest. Oh man.
About a wizard and his three Hibakulous girls.
How does this work with the DS sort of thing? How are they doing the two screens?
They'll probably just incorporate it into the menu.
Well, that's too easy.
I've never seen what the original game looks like. So.
There's like glimpses of it in the trailer, maybe?
Yeah, there's some slight glimpses. So I can't quite tell exactly how they've redone it because I can't quite see what the original was.
Yeah, and all the screenshots I see are just of the top screen. But anyway, looks interesting. I will keep an eye on this one. Retro fantasy action RPG Queen's Domain has been announced. This is a first-person game inspired by the Kingsfield series.
And it looks like a PS2 game.
It has got some chunky pixels going on. Yep.
Oh yeah.
No, they've gone more pixel barf than PS2 games even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But like to the point where the pixels are like making things a little fuzzy and nostalgic looking. So like it's an art style. It's cool. Kingsfield. So that's like pre Souls-like.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the first person
Souls-like then. Right. Is that what that means? Mm-hmm. Skyrim, but even more the harder.
Yeah.
Really, hopefully it will be great. I don't know. My problem with these sorts of games, and this one's like purposely doing it, is I feel like it's hard to stare at for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything low poly will make me motion sick.
Well, check it out. See if it's for you or not. If you've been jonesing for some Kingsfield, you can check out the demo on Steam. Queen's Domain. TRPG, Neath. Is that like underneath? What are they saying with Neath?
Neat, but with a lisp.
From the creators of Rogue Legacy 1 and 2. Oh, okay. People like Rogue Legacy.
Yeah, that was a good game. Huh.
This is a TRPG now.
Yeah.
Oh, and we got like multiple things going on. So like, what's that? That second game from the people who made FTL.
Into the Breach, yeah. It's a lot like Into the Breach, where you're kind of like, there's almost puzzle elements to the RPG where you're like, oh, you know the enemy's going to attack in this direction, so you whack them out of the way and make them attack other enemies, that kind of stuff.
That gives me a headache. That's like trying to play chess. I have to think too many moves ahead. I don't want it. You should see if you want it. Neath. With a logo that you cannot read.
No.
Hey, it could be a heavy metal logo.
There you go.
What else have we got? Space Samurai Action RPG Soul Shogunate?
No. Space Samurai Action is Warframe's job, isn't it? What is this?
I guess.
What is this?
It's literally Space Samurai.
Oh, fine. So what are we doing with Space Samurais?
Running around in space doing samurai things. Doing stabby stabby with sword.
The ladies in space with her eyes unprotected. Can you do that in space?
Nope.
Because she got the mouth and nose and ears all covered, so that's fine. But like, your eyes might not get too cold because there's no medium to make the heat go away. But also, like, you don't want to see the sun unprotected in space, and you don't. And I don't know how this person is a cyborg. Is that what's going on here? They're an android. This samurai is an android. There's robot people. Okay, cool. And then we go into just straight up J-pop while we're doing Space Samurai in a game that looks like Warframe. Got it. Perfect. Oh, Cyril says Warframe is Space Ninjas. So this is totally different because it's Space Samurais. Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody else cares anymore? Or have you all been shot into space? Soul Shogunate, but soul, S-O-L, like sun instead of like S-O-U-L, like your human soul. Oh, and this person, there's a glass covering for the eyes, so she's going to be fine. Everyone, it's okay. She's going to be fine. When is this out? Forever from now? It's wish list on Steam now?
All right. Yeah.
Want to wish list it? I think I just follow it, yeah. Next.
Wicked Seed, which is a horror RPG, is getting a release date on January 23rd.
Yeah.
And it's straight up Parasite Eve.
Well, Square didn't make them anymore.
Is it
so.
Parasite Eve? Is that all? Is this all Parasite Eve was? Was Lady with a Gun and killing monsters and not being killed by them?
Yeah, I mean, all Parasite Eve was just Resident Evil, but with turn-based combat.
Comet looks a little rough. Is this not done yet?
Probably not.
Why did they give us a giant booty shot while she's crawling around? Guys, come on.
Because men probably made this game?
Modern day horror RPG Wicked Seed will release in January. So it is almost done. It's going to be on Steam. There's a demo. See what you think. There's puzzles. Yay. Is this appealing to you because you liked Parasite Eve?
I couldn't really get into Parasite Eve, so it's hard for me to say, but I know that series has its fans. No, I don't know. I mean, I'll be willing to try anything if I hear good buzz about a game, and I like horror games.
What are they doing? What are they doing with this character model? No, I'm not even going to explain that for the podcast, folks. That's be happy you're not seeing the stuff they did in this trailer. Next.
Escape from Ever After is releasing in January on January 23rd.
Oh, this is the Paper Mario Fantasy game.
Yeah, this one looks great.
This looks fantastic.
So a corporation is buying up and basically taking all of the taking over all of the storybooks and you know, like turning them into making money, and you are one of the storybook characters, and you have to like go through all the different storybooks trying to recruit people to kind of take out the corporation from the inside.
Oh, that's good. And is it classic storybook characters like Little Red Riding Hood and
It looks like it, you know, like, you know, knockoffs of that. Yes. Well,
public domain ones.
Yes.
Obviously. Yeah, I'm down for this.
And it is very much done in that Paper Mario style of graphics. It looks really good.
You have to fight the three little pigs. This looks very cute. I don't know how good it'll be for an adult, but it's like so freaking Paper Mario RPG 2 inspired that it's like, I just can't handle it. Like,
I'm glad we have a wealth of Paper Mario clones in the Indieverse. So there we go. There's that. There is Caves of Quid Switch version pushed to January. No specific release date, just January 2026. This game...
This is the very old school game that also lets you do almost anything. Like, you could change into the, you know, like other characters' bodies and maneuver around. Very old school style graphics.
Yeah.
This was the one, remember, where you could change into,
it looks like you're playing
door.
Rogue. It's like a high-end rogue.
Yeah. Like, you could change into a door, move around the world as a door, and then die by someone, like, pulling your handle and slamming you shut. And then every time you die, you end up with a gravestone in the graveyard saying how you died.
Okay, that sounds pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird-looking one.
Oh, yeah. Looks kinda more like a DOS. Is it just me? Yeah, it looks more like an old DOS game.
No, I'm getting Commodore 64 vibes.
Oh yeah, that could be.
When we had our Commodore, I was way too young to understand any of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, push back to January. I'll have to.
It's already on like list. Steam. So
yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's probably
December of 2024. Overwhelmingly positive, both recent and overall.
Add that to my wish list, and it's Steam Deck compatible, because I can't imagine that pushing a lot of polygons.
Even have a pet pack. Things you can be.
Netherworld Covenant is leaving early access next month. What was this about?
I don't know. It has a demo on Steam.
It's the 1.0 version is going to be out on December 9th.
It's set in a fantasy world ravaged by a catastrophic disaster, and you're a survivor tasked with reclaiming lost souls and cleansing the world of its corruption. Did that add some
dramatic excitement?
Hook? I tried.
I just
it's
can't
an action
tell what
game.
Kind of... Okay.
It looks like a Diablo-like. Mm-hmm. Okay. Run around killing things. And it's fast-paced. And Hunter, Berserker, Mage, Deprived. Deprived is a class. He has a big sword. So Deprived is Guts. Got it. And what else we got? Four different modes. What are the modes? Co-op, solo, something else? I don't know what they are. It didn't say what they are. Or did I skip past it? Because I'm an idiot. I skipped past the modes, didn't I? It's a Diablo-like. It's a console Diablo-like. So, is it on PC? So maybe it's not a console Diablo-like. It's a PC via Steam, and there's a demo. Steam. I already said it. RPGs with Souls-like combat, but it... Is it?
You said it. It looks more Diablo to me.
Yeah. Let's see how hard it is.
But whether or not it's fast-paced modern Diablo or slow and plodding... 90s Diablo.
No one goes for 90s. Like, Diablo 1 slow? Nobody ever goes for that anymore.
I didn't think so. Where Windsmead is launching for mobile next week.
Yeah!
On December 12th.
I think I talked about this earlier.
Yep.
Yeah. It is. So if you want another place to play it, or you're like, nah, this looks like a fun time killer on my phone, it looks like you're going to be able to do that there soon.
I'll bet you drain your battery pretty quick.
I bet so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not much to that. Chris talked about the game at length.
You should play it and get beat up by a goose.
Etrange Overlord is launching in March. This was that new one that... NIS announced that was a musical action RPG from the Disgaea creator.
Well, there you go. This sounds like your dream game you were talking about earlier.
I mean, I
it's
mentioned
got a cat.
I'm sold. No, I mentioned more strategy RPG, but I mean, like I said, if it has the humor of the Disgaea series, then I want to check it out. Coming out on March 26th for PC, PS4 and 5 and Switch with a limited edition available.
Like they're a black sphinx.
Does the limited edition come with?
Hopefully more cats.
Game collector's box, art book.
The cat's
CD.
Playable! Cat Smith. Yay. He's not Cat Sith, he's Cat Smith. That's
yeah, you know, just a basic collector's edition for $90, but anymore I don't do CEs with new franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I wishlisted this last night. Traveler's Refrain is coming to Switch next week on December 11th. You're a bard looking for his lost love, and the combat is all music-based. And the art, I don't know how to describe the art style. It's top-down action.
It looks like it's kind of like low-budget Hades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slightly lower frame rate, but it's very, very got that look to it. Actually, it's probably the frame rate thing's probably part of the music tie-in, actually, so it's probably very intentional. I don't see the music part of the combat, honestly, but maybe it's because I don't have the volume up on this.
Yeah, it looked very interesting. The trailer spoke to me, so because I was just browsing the eShop last.
Well, it has a narrator. Upcoming. It's not speaking to you. That's just a recording of somebody talking, Kelly.
Oh, see, I didn't see that.
Kelly, I'm just making a joke.
Oh, you're messing with me.
Yeah, I'm just messing with
you. Well, the way you said it, it sounded like what it's going to be like Bastion.
No, it's just me.
You're just being a smartass.
Yeah.
Have you been talking to Vaughn?
Yeah, probably.
He's done
no,
that a
Andy's
lot to
been
me
talking
lately.
To this one has a raccoon in it. Man, what have got all the critters in our games lately? Traveler's Refrain. Is it on other things? Or is it just Switch?
The story does not say.
Which released on PC via Steam earlier this year, so it's already out on Steam.
Yeah.
Well, it's good timing. Raccoons are having a week, so get a raccoon in this game.
What's going on with raccoons this week?
Oh, goodness. You didn't see the story about the raccoon that broke into the liquor store and got drunk?
No.
How did you miss this, Kelly?
I don't know how I missed this.
He passed out in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw that picture. I didn't realize there was context behind it.
Don't worry, it's okay.
Rocket got a little tipsy, did he?
Well, he ate all the liquor, so...
I wonder what kind of liquor he got into.
Well, he broke some thing and licked it off the floor, apparently.
Because, I've seen raccoons eat fermented berries before, but... not actually drink stuff.
He was into the scotch, apparently.
Yeah. He just splayed out. It's glorious.
Good job, raccoon. Draccoon. Drunken raccoon.
I would just be afraid of a drunk raccoon, because aren't they mean?
I mean, unless you're passed out because you're so drunk, ain't gonna be able to do anything.
But that was all the main news, so we've got new releases and new early access news. That's your cue, Chris.
Oh, yes, that's my cue. Here's what we got. Octopath Traveler Zero came out. Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated and Rebirth Twin Pack came out. Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny came out. Yakuza Zero Director's Cut is coming out, I think. Or is out. Romancing Saga Minstrel Song Remastered International coming to Switch and PlayStation. Pokemon Legends getting a DLC, Mega Dimension. The Temple of Elemental Evil is coming out. Like, that's the kind of, you know, the old game, but now it's out again, but slightly updated so you can play it better and it works. The Game Awards 2020. The Game Awards is this week, everybody. Who's ready for the Game Awards? Ashes of Creations hitting early access for real, apparently. We'll see if this is the last ditch hope of new MMOs. We'll see if it actually happens. And if maybe 2026 will be the year of all MMOs instead of just retro MMOs coming back from the dead. Warhammer 40K, Rogue Traders coming to Switch 2, and Where Winds Meet's coming out on mobile, if we haven't told you enough times already. And there's probably more that I could talk about that came out already because we missed a couple shows. You know, like Crescent Tower, that's like the NES NES game that you could play, and that's out. We have the Cross Blitz is out. That's I don't know what Cross Blitz is. It looks like a card battling RPG tactical thing, maybe sort of thing. Doki Monsters Quest, that must be a Pokemon like. Yep, sure is. Dragon Ruins 2, there's like a dragon skeleton. Do you get to find the dragon? Oh, this is the one. Oh, this one looks cool. Like, it's an upgrade from Dragon Ruins 1, which is very man, go look at the trailer for Dragon Ruins 2, but also remember it's published by Kemco, so it might be Hunter Moons, a Sovereign Syndicate. Whoop, whoop, Kemco alert for the last game, but also it's a publishing thing, so not a developing thing. So Hunter's Moon, a Sovereign Syndicate Adventure is a roguelike deck building, because we don't have enough of those. Of Ash and Steel is an open world RPG, but like we're playing Where Winds Meet instead of this, but if you had time for this is more traditional fantasy magic Skyrim style open world, and then like the trailer doesn't make me want to play it, but maybe it's really good and I should watch a review. And it's being put out by the Tiny Build, you know, the people that know Time to Explain, but that game's really old, so nobody remembers anything. Primal Fray coming to PlayStation, PC and stuff. That's already out. It's not coming because this is the old things that I've read already. And this is more creature collection, I guess. You choose a primal and then, you know, you build a team of primals because Pokemon, but it's not Pokemon because we don't want Nintendo to sue us. Solo Leveling Arise Overdrive came out already. That was $40 and I don't know if it's any good. I need to watch the anime of the Korean comic manga thing, right? Is that how that works? I don't know. So it sounds cool. I should really watch it. People like it. The Use of Life by Playism came out on Steam, and that's it's a game book style RPG. So this is, oh yeah, this is on my list because like it's like you're playing through one of those single player game book things that's like tabletop RPGs, but for people with no friends like me. And then you have Wizard of Legend 2, which is already out on other things like, well, yeah. And now it's come to Switch, and it's a follow-up to Wizard of Legend 1, and neither one looked very interesting to me, but it's a Diablo-like where you're wizards and you're running around, and it's fast-paced, it's got multiplayer, and I probably should be playing that with friends, but who knows if I'll ever get around to it. And then we have the other one, Kingdom of Night, that's an action RPG set in 1980-something, and it's coming for PC, and like it opens up with like, there's monsters, like straight up like gargoyles and skeletons, and you can team up with friends to take on the demons. And I don't know, apparently I guess you have magic and or just a baseball bat, or maybe both. Probably both would be best. I would recommend having both if you can. And so you go and you run around and fight them, and it looks really hard to like stay alive, and so I don't know how this works, but you can also team up with them, and it's local co-op or playable solo, and there's a frog demon in that game, so go check that out. And the graphics kind of look like out of this world, so like really old and you can't tell anybody's facial features. So it's Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny is another one that already came out, and that's with like all the Nicktoons together, like SpongeBob characters and the fairy godparents and stuff and whatever.
Modern Nicktoons.
Yeah, there's a lot of Nicktoons. Kids. We don't want to disparage the older Nicktoons. And then you have the Octopath Traveler 2. Octopath Traveler 3, but it's a 0 because it's a prequel, and like then you can watch this weird trailer where the characters come out of the TV and they like make demands of you to play their game, which is kind of weird because like I'm just trying to relax and I don't need these freaking people coming out of the game telling me what to do in my town building game. I'll tell them what to do. How dare they get on my living room table? But if you want to experience that, you can watch the trailer, and that catches us up.
Yay. Now, new early access news.
Oh, no.
Moonlighter 2, The Endless Vault is now available on Steam Early Access. This is a sequel to the 2018 action RPG Moonlighter that combines shopkeeping and combat. And I believe your husband liked this game,
Chris. Yeah, he did. And I have it on Game Pass and haven't tried it.
Yep.
Because early access is on Game Pass, so... Like, I should, but I've got two other games like PoE and stuff. I just can't play everything. It makes me sad, but like, you know, I have a job and a life, and I have to rely on people at rpgamer.com to tell me what's good and they're into.
Oh, to have more free time.
It's a curse. Into the fire. I had it when I was unemployed. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. Sorry, I keep trying to do this. Into the Fire is releasing in early access in 2026. This is a firefighter RPG where you're facing hazards like fires, molten lava, and powerful earthquakes, with making moral choices to impact your friendships.
This looks really stressful to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in a firefighting game, making choices just makes me sound like, oh man, I'm just setting up for disappointment no matter what happens. It's going to be bad. All right, I need someone to play this and tell me if it's too stressful to play. But also, like, if it's too stressful to play, and, like, yeah. This is from the same people made The Invincible, which is a adventure game where you have a puzzle-y thing where you walk around and, like, interact with stuff that I've really wanted to get around to playing and never have. So I guess I can't say that that's an endorsement, since I don't know if their last game's really good or not, but this looks interesting. And how is it a role-playing game?
I guess you talk to people and influence friendships.
Well, early access, I guess people can jump in and tell us how it's a role-playing game, or if it's not, and then we'll...
I'm with you. I would think a firefighting game is more stressful than anything. I'd rather...
Well, the way they're presenting it looks very stressful. Lots of... The fire has already consumed a lot in wherever you're going. So I don't know how this sounds. Man, it's a cataclysm extraction survival. So I guess the whole world's on fire? I don't know. Face nature's wrath and fire spirits by an erupting volcano. Oh, okay. So you're in Hawaii and things went south. Okay, got it. And there's spirits, and you have deer in your backyard. You have deer in your backyard farm, and you have a speeder copter. I have no idea what's going on. You should check it out. It looks interesting. What's Tsurugi Hime? There we go.
I know that's princess. I don't know what the
Hime part is, right? But I don't know what the rest is. Maybe bullet hell or wind or sword or.
So the premise is that the game gives you 100 days to prepare for its final battle and features crafting as a major theme, with multiple endings depending on how players use their 100 days.
Tsurugi is sword. I thought Shinken was sword.
Sword princess.
Hmm.
Shinken would be sword knowledge, wouldn't it? Whatever.
And I like games with that kind of premise where you have a certain amount of time to prepare for a fight, and depending on when you take on the bosses, when what kind of ending you'll get. I call those Groundhog Day games, even though this game isn't really a time loop one, but it's that kind of doing the same thing every day. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just... But it's coming to early access next year, no specific date. And then Varthos, Heir to the Throne, is launching in early access on December 16th.
This is a Diablo-ass Diablo game, or I guess more of a Titan Quest-ass Titan Quest game. Yeah. That's all I know. Screenshots.
Expected to spend 1 year in early access.
Oh, but it's a roguelite. Okay. That I didn't expect.
Hmm.
So you got to do it in a run, procedurally generated dungeons, classless progression system. I don't know how the progression's going to work. That's interesting. I'll be interested to see how this goes if someone streams it or something. Diablo style runs could be the answer we need to get back to that Diablo 1 pacing,
which is slow and plodding.
Yeah, I know you don't.
But doing it over and over again. Yeah.
I mean, Diablo 1 was kind of meant to be roguelike.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's just the recent Diablo games kind of spoiled me on the fast-paced action. I tried to go back to Torchlight 2, and it's like, this feels slow. What is this? I loved Torchlight.
We got a review of a game with a big old skill tree. I want to know more about it, Kelly.
Mandragora, Whispers of the Witch Tree. It's a side-scrolling action RPG, somewhat Souls-like, from what I was reading.
Definitely hard.
Yeah, Pascal said one of the negative. This was reviewed by Pascal. It's for Nintendo Switch. He gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Just one of the negatives that he said was that the late game difficulty spike can be really frustrating. But the positives are that it's a fun and frantic combat that packs quite a wallop with a gorgeous presentation and options to tinker with a variety of character builds, hence that massive tree. Aside from the difficulty spike, he also said that the Switch port has pretty bad load times. So I don't know what else this is on that you might want to play it on another system to avoid. I see that it's on Steam.
It's on PS5 and Xbox.
Right? So it's on everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Bora.
It is Steam Deck verified, so maybe you'll have better luck there.
It's already on my wish list. Well, this is side view, though.
Yeah, I said side
scroll. You did. But that talent tree. Why do I like talent trees so much? I'm a POE player. I've got a problem. It has a demo. I'll just download the demo and never play it. Got it.
Sorted.
Kelly, how do I play a bunch of RPGs if I don't have a lot of money?
Well, we have an article for you.
Oh,
RPGs on a budget. A list of games that are less than $20 is briefly reviewed by our staff. Some entries include 8-Bit Adventures 2, House of Necrosis, Trails in the Sky. Really less than $20? Yeah, I guess
it is now, yeah. Not the remake.
Yeah.
Which is what you should play instead, probably, but whatever.
Well,
no.
You can make an argument for the original because supposedly it's shorter and it has the chess jokes.
Hmm. They took those out?
Yeah.
Oh, the chest jokes. Oh, the chokes in the chest. Oh, yes. Man. The person who wrote those spent a lot of time writing those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of time.
What, like close to 200 in the first game, even?
Monster Sanctuary, which is one that I really enjoyed. A Metroidvania monster collector. Record of Lotus Lore Wonder Labyrinth, which is a Symphony of the Night clone. And then Sam reviewed one that's free to play called Weird and Unfortunate Things Are Happening.
It's a horror game.
Yeah. This is on Steam? Yeah, it's free. Deck Verify. I'm gonna add this one to my library because it looks interesting. I imagine it's probably a pretty short experience, too. Oh, I'm sorry, I say that. Estimated playtime is 15 to 20 hours.
Ooh. Cool. So, what's our Adventure Corner, then?
Our Adventure Corner is Melbourne Route 96.
So it's about a bus?
No, it's a photography-themed thriller visual novel.
It has a very unique art style.
Yeah. Part travelogue and part thriller. Each playthrough takes about 15 minutes to complete. And apparently you have to pay really close attention to what people say.
Play that now, Kelly?
I'm not sure. I tend not to be into visual novels very much.
Yeah, you're not a big visual novel person.
Not really. But I'll be happy to try in any one of them that people recommend to me if they tick my boxes. Well, that and I'm more into the storytelling ones, like something like this, and less the Otome ones. You know, the kind of dating sim types.
Yeah.
I guess Phoenix Wright couldn't be considered an Otome, could it? It's more about a mystery solving.
Anyway. Yeah, I think so.
But that is the show.
All right. With that, I'm going to tell you all, hey, thanks for watching and sticking through the end of the show with us all. I have to go play more video games because there's so many to play now. And then they gave me budget games and a list this week. Man, it must be game playing season.
It is that time of the year.
RPG time of the year. You know, the when the skill trees are showing, and wonder what a Ray Ramonos are growing, and I don't know what's going on. Loved ones are near. No, that's the original song. I'm not good at this. I'm going to go pass out like that raccoon we talked about and eat some lunch. So thanks for joining us, everybody. I would like to thank you, Kelly, Ryan, and Josh Carpenter for joining me on the show today. I would like to thank Dale North for our music, Ed Walker for being Ed, and he hasn't done anything for the show lately, but he used to help a lot, and like we're thanking people. And thank you to David and Vaughn and Lady Death in the chat, and Rook One, the new person. Hi. We have thank you for watching on twitch.tv/RPGamer if you are, because everyone has fun hanging out with us on Twitch. And finally, I have to ask you all what you're gonna play this week. Kelly.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I've got a lot to pick from. It might be one of those Bullet Heavens I bought. It might be that game about digging a hole. It might be Vaughn had suggested me picking up Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Come up with a question. Josh, what are you playing this week?
Well, after I get done hanging some ornaments on my skill tree, I guess I'll try and finish The Outer Worlds 2.
How about relating to our article about budget gaming? What's your favorite game that's under $20?
Ooh. RPG or game?
Game in general, I guess. I don't know. Maybe RPG would be more prudent.
I feel like everyone's just going to say like Undertale and popular inexpensive indie games.
Just give us your suggestion for that isn't in the article for a under $20 game. Then.
Oh,
there we go.
What's a budget game you would recommend? Perfect. I love it. Thank you, everybody. And stay tuned. You'll have streamers doing things starting again tomorrow. We'll have like your scars and your hair frogs and that sort of thing. And I think that's it.
Chris, what are you playing? You missed out that part.
Oh, probably still. As much as I'd like to get into all the games we talked about today, I can't. So I'm gonna stick to Where Winds Meet and Path of Exile 2, most likely. But man, if I decide I'm done with one of those, I have so many good options to pick from. It's mm-hmm. amazing. So we'll see. And then it'll be a surprise for y'all to hear on the show. But like also Where Winds Meet has so much stuff to do. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while.
I'm glad you're enjoying
there's it. There's so much stuff. It's that good open world, shut your brain off sort of thing. And then there's challenging stuff and multiplayer stuff if you want that too, when you're like, man, I would like to engage my brain. And then eventually you're going to be like, this game is just built to be addictive and I need to stop. And then I'll stop. Trust me. It'll be fun.
Just like you've stopped Path of Exile. Yeah.
I have before you're and I will again.
I mean, that's honestly my favorite thing about like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom is just wandering around, seeing what I can find.
Kelly, they announced the Druid class for Path of Exile 2.
Ooh, do you get to be an animal?
You do.
Is it a kitty?
Nope.
Ah.
There are three forms. Two of them you can probably guess because every other action RPG does the same two forms.
Bear and wolf.
You got it. And then there's a third form, Wyvern.
Wyvern.
Yeah, so you can be a dragon, and then you gain power charges by eating the enemies you kill, which is
that
amazing.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. The bear can be a fire bear if you want, so you can like have lots of lava and fire explosions, or you can turn into a demon form bear. The wolf gets a wolf pack to run around with him, so you get some minion play with your wolf form. And it's a cool looking wolf form, and we didn't cover it on the site. I don't know why, but like, yeah, that was a big announcement, and that'll be in their 0.4 release, which is going to be in like a month or so, I think. And yeah, Path of Exile 2 Early Access continues. But
I tell you, if I can't be a cat in games, I like being a wolf.
Go. Okay, well, let's all go get ready for Path of Exile 2 or whatever, and finish up the games we currently got going on. And yeah, write in, tell us what you're playing. And next week the episode won't be so full of news, so we'll have more time for feedback. So we'll do more of that. So thanks, everybody.
Tell us about your budget games.
Yeah. I'll catch you next week. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.